All right, everyone, get ready for a deep dive. Today we're tackling a Supreme Court case that's still making waves, Harris v. McRae.
A case that really makes you think about how money, like, impacts your rights. And in this case, we're talking about abortion.
Okay, so set the scene for us. What was going on back in 1980 that led to this case even ending up in the Supreme Court?
Well, it all begins with the Hyde Amendment. This basically said no federal Medicaid money for abortions.
So no federal funds for abortions. Got it.
Yeah, there were a few exceptions, like if the mother's life was at risk or in cases of rape or incest. But for the most part, no Medicaid money for abortions.
Yeah, that's where Cora McRae comes in.
Exactly. Cora McRae needed an abortion, but couldn't afford it without help from the government because she was on Medicaid. She ended up being the lead plaintiff in a class action lawsuit. They were challenging whether the Hyde Amendment was even constitutional.
So basically the argument was, if I have a constitutional right to an abortion, but I can't afford it and the government won't help me pay for it, what good is that right?
Exactly. And the Supreme Court had some tough questions to answer, like, is the government actually obligated to pay for abortions, especially when there's no federal money available?
Makes sense. So how'd they approach that? Do they look at how funding plays a role in other rights?
They did. They thought about whether the government has to pay for every right we have and what happens when people can't afford to actually use their rights.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So what did the court decide? Did they say the Hyde Amendment was unconstitutional?
Well, no. In a 5-4 vote, the court decided to uphold the Hyde Amendment. That said, the government doesn't have to give you money to exercise a right, even if it is a constitutional right.
Hold on. So they're saying that even though abortion was a constitutional right at the time, the government didn't have to help people pay for it. That seems like it could have huge implications for other rights, too.
You're right. It really does. And that's why this case is so important. But to really get how they got there, we need to understand the rational basis test.
Okay, what's the rational basis test and why was it important in this case?
It's like a way for the court to decide if a law is cool with the Constitution. Basically, if the government can come up with a good enough reason for the law, then the law's probably okay. It's not a super high bar.
So did they think the government's reasoning for the Hyde Amendment was good enough? What was their justification for it anyway?
The government basically said they wanted to encourage people to have more babies. And the court thought the Hyde Amendment was a reasonable way to do that. They were saying if the government doesn't pay for abortions, then maybe people will choose childbirth instead.
Okay, so they connected the Hyde Amendment with their goal of more babies being born. I bet some people weren't happy with this reasoning, though.
Oh, absolutely. The justices who disagreed with the decision were not happy, and they wrote some pretty strong dissents. They saw this decision as a huge setback for women's rights, especially for poor women who rely on Medicaid.
Yeah, I can see why. What were they most concerned about in their dissents? Were they worried about how this might impact other rights, like you mentioned earlier?
Definitely. Justice Marshall was especially worried about how this would affect poor women. It basically creates a system where whether or not you can exercise your constitutional rights depends on how much money you have.
That's basically what Cora McRae was arguing in the first place, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's what makes these dissenting opinions so interesting. They weren't just disagreeing with the majority's legal logic. They were really worried about the real-life impact this decision would have.
So even though the court said the Hyde Amendment was okay, the dissenting justices were sending a pretty strong message about how this could be a dangerous way of thinking.
Exactly. They saw this case as being about way more than just funding for abortions. They saw it as potentially hurting equal access to constitutional rights for everyone, no matter how much money you have.
It wasn't just some theoretical debate. It was about people's lives.
Absolutely. Justice Marshall even predicted that because of the Hyde Amendment, there would be more women having unsafe abortions, and some women might even die because they couldn't afford a safe abortion. He saw it as a matter of life or death.
Wow. So we've got a divided court, a controversial decision, and some really concerned justices. Where do we go from here?
Well, this is where things get even more interesting. The court started with the government, but this case didn't end the debate. It really just started it. Harris v. McRae has shaped how people can get abortions for decades, and it's still relevant today.
Okay, I'm hooked. Give us a sneak peek. What are some of the long-term impacts of this case, and how did it change the debate about access to abortion in the years that followed?
Well, for one thing, it really solidified the idea that even if something is a constitutional right, the government might not have to help you pay for it. And that opened the door for people to challenge funding for all sorts of other rights, like legal representation, healthcare, and more.
So it's like Heresy McRae threw down a challenge for all of us to figure out how to make these rights a reality for everyone, regardless of their income. This is getting deep.
It is. And to really understand how big of a deal this case is, we need to look closer at those dissenting opinions. They weren't just legal arguments. They were like warnings about the potential problems of having a system where your rights depend on your wealth.
Okay, I'm ready to dive deeper. Let's unpack those dissents and see what they tell us about the impact of this case in the long run.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we were talking about those passionate dissents in Harris v. McRae. What were those justices so worked up about?
Well, Justice Blackmun really let loose in his dissent. He straight up called out the majority for being condescending to poor women.
Yeah, I can see how that would be upsetting. What exactly did he disagree with about their reasoning?
He had a problem with the idea that these women could just go somewhere else for an abortion. Blackmun was basically saying, hey, for a lot of these women, Medicaid is their only choice. There's nowhere else to go.
So he was calling them out for being out of touch with the reality of being poor, right? Like, they didn't understand what these women were actually going through.
Yeah, exactly. And that disconnect between the legal theory and real life is something you see in all of the dissents.
It's like they were saying, you can't just say something is a right and then not care about whether people can actually use that right.
Right. And this goes beyond abortion, too. Justice Marshall, in his dissent, warned that this decision could make it harder for people to access other important rights. He saw it as setting a bad example that could weaken the idea of equal protection under the law.
Okay, I see why this case is still important today. It's not just about abortion. It's about how we think about and protect constitutional rights when there's so much economic inequality.
You got it. The dissenting justices were worried that Harris v. McRae was making a two-tiered system of justice. One for rich people who can afford to exercise their rights, and another for poor people who are left on their own.
That doesn't seem right, having different levels of rights depending on how much money you have.
Yeah, it's a problem. And that's what made this case so controversial. It exposed this tension in our legal system between acknowledging a right and actually making sure everyone can use that right.
And that tension hasn't gone away, right?
Yeah.
We still see it in debates about healthcare, education, and even housing.
Definitely. Harris v. McRae had a big impact. It kind of set the stage for future legal battles about the government's role in making sure everyone has equal access to basic rights and services.
So this case about abortion funding ended up affecting all these other areas of law and policy. It's kind of crazy.
It is. And that's what happens with important Supreme Court decisions. They have this power to shape the legal landscape for a long time.
Okay, so we talked about the rational basis test, but were there any other legal arguments in this case? Did the plaintiffs bring up any other constitutional issues besides the funding problem?
They did. Mm. Remember, they argued that the Hyde Amendment violated the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the Fifth Amendment. They were saying that the government was discriminating against poor women by not letting them access a safe and legal medical procedure.
Right. How did the court respond to those arguments? It seems like they'd be hard to ignore.
Well, the court admitted that not having enough money could make it hard to get an abortion. But they said that wasn't the government's problem to solve. They said there's a difference between the government actually stopping someone from getting an abortion and the government just choosing not to help them pay for it.
Okay, so they were focusing on government action versus inaction.
Yeah.
If the government doesn't stop someone from getting an abortion but also doesn't help them pay for it, is that still a violation of their rights? That seems like a really tricky distinction.
You're catching on. And that's where the equal protection argument gets really interesting. To figure out if the Hyde Amendment went against the Equal Protection Clause, the court had to think about whether it was discriminating against what's called a suspect class.
Wait, what's a suspect class? And why is that important here?
It's like this. If a law treats people differently based on things like race or national origin, that's a big warning sign for the court. They're going to look at that law very carefully because those categories have been used to justify discrimination and oppression throughout history.
So a suspect class is a group that has been historically marginalized and is more likely to face discrimination.
Exactly. And that's where strict scrutiny comes in. When a law looks like it's targeting a suspect class, the court puts on its most powerful glasses. They apply strict scrutiny to see if the government has a really, really good reason for treating people differently based on those categories.
So did the court think that poor women were a suspect class? Did they apply this strict scrutiny to the Hyde Amendment?
Nope, they didn't. They said that being poor, while a serious issue, isn't a suspect classification like race or national origin. And because they weren't dealing with a suspect class, they didn't use that highest level of scrutiny.
So that's why they used the rational basis test again. Because they didn't see the Hyde Amendment as targeting a group that needed that higher level of protection.
You got it. And that's a key point here. Because they didn't consider poor women a suspect class, and because they decided that the right to an abortion didn't automatically mean a right to government funding for an abortion, they used a much lower level of scrutiny for the law.
And that's how they ended up saying the Hyde Amendment was okay. It all goes back to that rational basis test.
Exactly. It boils down to whether the government could come up with any reasonable excuse for the law. And in this case, they said that the Hyde Amendment was a way to encourage more births, and the court accepted that as a legitimate reason.
I see how it all connects now. But it feels like the court was walking a fine line, admitting that financial barriers could affect access to abortion, but then saying it's not the government's job to fix that.
It's a real head-scratcher, isn't it? And that's what makes this case so interesting. It makes us think about tough questions about the government's responsibilities, individual rights, and how economic inequality affects access to essential services.
It sounds like this case didn't give us any easy answers, but it definitely raised some important questions.
It did, and it sparked a debate that's still going on today. Harris v. McRae didn't end the discussion. It just changed the battlefield. And to really grasp its impact, we need to zoom out and look at its legacy.
Okay, let's zoom out then. How did this case change the landscape of abortion access in the years that followed? And how does it still influence legal fights over reproductive rights today? Okay, so we've seen how Harris v. McRae wasn't just about abortion funding. It really kicked off this whole debate about the government's role in making sure people can actually afford to use their rights.
Yeah, it's like the case drew this line saying, okay, the government can't stop you from getting an abortion, but they also don't have to help you pay for it.
And that line is still something we're dealing with today, right? Like with healthcare.
For sure. Think about it. The Affordable Care Act was this big step toward making sure more people had access to healthcare, but even with that, millions of Americans still don't have insurance or don't have enough.
So we have this right to healthcare in theory, but Harris v. McRae kind of hangs over everything, maybe suggesting the government doesn't have to make sure everyone can actually afford it.
That's one way to look at it, yeah. And it's not just healthcare. We see this with education, too.
Right. Like, we have this right to public education, but the quality of that education really depends on where you live and how much money your school district has.
Exactly. How schools are funded, the resources they have, the quality of the teachers. It's not all equal. And yeah, people definitely bring up Harris v. McRae when they challenge those inequalities.
So it goes beyond just the money, right? It's about this bigger question of what it really means to guarantee a right if people can't afford to actually use it.
Exactly. And that's the thing that Harris v. McRae really brought to light, this difference between the idea of a right and the reality of accessing it.
I'm seeing why you said this case throws down a challenge. It's like it's asking us as a society to figure out how to close that gap, how to make those rights real for everyone, not just the people who can afford them.
And that's a conversation we need to have. Harris v. McRae didn't end the debate. It just kind of moved it to a new place. Now the fight is about finding ways to ensure equal access to those rights, even if the government doesn't have to pay for it.
That's a really powerful way to think about it. So as we wrap up our deep dive into this landmark case, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from all this?
I hope they leave with a better understanding of how complicated the relationship between rights and resources really is. Harris v. McRae showed us that just saying something is a right isn't enough. We need to work to create a society where everyone can actually access those rights, no matter how much money they have.
It's a call to action for all of us to be involved citizens and fight for a more just and fair society where everyone has a real chance to exercise their rights.
Perfectly said. Harris v. McRae wasn't just about abortion funding. It was a wake-up call about how fragile rights can be when there's economic inequality. And that's a lesson we can't afford to forget.
And with that, we're wrapping up this deep dive into Harris v. McRae. A huge thanks to our expert for walking us through this fascinating and challenging case.
It was my pleasure. Having these conversations is so important for understanding how we're constantly striving for equal justice under the law.
And to our listeners, keep those brilliant legal minds sharp and never stop questioning the status quo. Until next time.